You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joe Sheehan.
I don't know if you read what Joe Sheehan wrote.
I did.
Baseball America, SI, and the Joe Sheehan newsletter.
Into right center, back of the warning track, the wall, it is gone!
He writes what Dan reads.
Reading is good.
Joe Sheehan with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Let's talk some baseball with Joe Sheehan, who is on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan. He writes for Baseball America and Sports Illustrated, and he writes the irreplaceable Joe Sheehan newsletter, to which, if you want, you can actually buy a lifetime subscription.
No.
And it's fascinating the way how he worked out. It was very transparent about how he worked out the math. It was kind of cool. And then it also made me think about my own mortality, and I'm doing all these actuarial things, like, well, wait a sec. If somebody does this, like, how long am I going to live to make this valuable?
Well, really, it's how long is Joe going to live?
That too. And then I'm also wondering, like, can it be inherited? Like, if I buy a lifetime subscription or something, would my son or daughter have access to it? Should I get, step on a landmine or something? We don't know the answers to these things. Joe, how are you?
Feeling my own mortality after this conversation.
Right? Well, no, it just,
we
never
try
know.
For that.
You never know.
I wish I'd started lying about my age sooner. That was the thing that I was thinking of. Like, I can tell people now I'm actually 27.
Yeah.
And I probably could have priced it a lot higher. But yeah, you did have to sit there and go, okay, I'm 48. I'm a non-smoker. Not just how long am I going to live, but how long am I going to write? I'd like to think I'm going to be Roger Angel, 98 years old, 99 now, banging out stuff. I'd like to think of Peter Gammons as 74 still doing this. But anyway, yeah, it's an option now to buy a lifetime subscription. And yes, it is my lifetime and not yours. So if you want to designate it an heir, go for it. If you want to hand it down to Connor at some point, Connor's only 15. He's going to be
right
out for a while.
Now, carrying out that theme, I placed the Cubs in hospice. I rolled them on in. Was I right to do that?
No, I mean, again, it always feels bad when you have a series like they did, in last weekend. Obviously, just a disastrous trip to Milwaukee after the Thursday night win, but they're still in position to be. I mean, I don't think a road game at Max Scherzer is a whole lot of fun, but that's still making the playoffs. I think after last year too, with the way they crashed out, they had tied for the best record in the National League, and then had a really poorly timed two-game losing streak and didn't make the brackets. I think another year like that's going to feel frustrating. But I'd still give them the edge over the Diamondbacks and the field. They let the Brewers back in this weekend, but they are still 100 runs better than the Brewers this year. They're plus 70 or so. The Brewers are minus 30. There's a huge difference in quality between these two teams.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it's unfortunate to drop the series like they have. They have called up reinforcements, so to speak, in Nico Horner, their top prospect. I know you're not a big prospect guy, but I wonder, this is a next in the line of decisions of bringing kids up regardless, because they want wins at the major league level. Does this smell strange to you, or is this something they had to do?
Well, I mean, it's fast. I mean, Herner was drafted a year ago. You would expect a college hitter to come through the system quickly. He didn't dominate at Double-A this year. He got off to a bad start. He had, I believe it was a wrist injury, guys.
Yeah.
And then, he played well at Tennessee, but I'm talking about a guy who's literally got, 70 games above A-ball. Expecting him to step in and be a major league hitter, it's kind of, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, but this is triggered, obviously, by the Baez injury. There's a little bit of let's try to catch lightning in a bottle element to it. I think the thing is, unless Horner can give them five good innings as a starter, he doesn't really address the current problems.
He has yet to hit the bouncy ball, too. Like, we don't have any numbers on him with the
bouncy
ball.
He might
hit
12 homers the last 3 weeks. You're right.
Because
basically, the way things are right now, because he's coming out of Double-A, he doesn't have those inflated stats that a lot of guys at Triple-A have had this year.
Why did Dave Dombrowski get fired?
Because the Red Sox bullpen went nuts last October and got them a championship, and all of a sudden this year looks a lot more disappointing. But if you look at I wrote about this at the time. The Red Sox were great last year. 108-54, an incredible young core, stars everywhere. But if you look at why they won 11 games in the postseason, it was because guys like Matt Barnes and Joe Kelly and Stephen Pierce went off for 3 weeks. And what happened was Dombrowski basically went, oh, we're good. Of the 25 guys on the Red Sox opening day roster this year, 21 played for them in last year's postseason. So he kind of got very complacent. I think their offseason, I think the winning the World Series got Dombrowski to buy into a flawed back end of the roster, not do anything to upgrade it, and produce the 2019 Red Sox. Now, there are other reasons. Chris Sale got hurt, hasn't been effective. Rick Porcello regressed. But really, it's just they won the championship, I'm like, okay, we're good. And that's generally not the way to go about it.
You could copy and paste that to a local squad.
I mean, as you're saying that, Jesus. I'm just, you know, there but for the grace of God goes a certain team here.
I don't know. I mean, they went out, they traded for Davis in the year after the World Series. They traded for Quintana during the middle of the next season. I think the Cubs have gone after and tried to bolster the thing. I think there's a cost. I think they don't have Torres. They don't have Jimenez. They have Schwarber and not the things they might have traded Schwarber for. And that's, of course, worked out here over the last month. I don't know that I would put the Cubs in that same category. They didn't run it back with – they ran it back with the same core – but it was a core full of 25-year-old really good players.
You're right, Joe. That's the difference. It's they trusted people not named Steve Pierce, you know, or 35-year-old relievers to bounce back and have similar seasons. They trusted 23-year-old first-round draft picks to improve, and they didn't. So many questions about what did we miss about the Cubs, and did Pecota have it right and all that kind of stuff. I find myself taking a long look at the St. Louis Cardinals and wondering, what did I miss there? I didn't see them getting off to a stretch like they have had the last, call it 5-6 weeks of baseball. What makes them as good as they are and able to sustain it?
They've been playing bad teams for quite some time.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean to want to make it that simple, but if you look at their last, they haven't played a team that's definitely going to be in the playoffs since August 7th. The only remote contender they've played since then is the Brewers. And that's going to continue here over the next couple of – and the next series. Then they go to Washington. They got the Brewers again before the Cubs series. But it's just been an incredibly soft schedule they've taken advantage of. Now, you know, Jack Flaherty has turned up. He's been a lot better for them over the last, I would say, like 2 months. He's basically been one of the best pitchers in baseball. And this is what we expected out of him. The bullpen has stabilized. They called up – they got killed for the Luke Voit trade. Luke Voit went off and had this great stretch for the Yankees. But the reliever they got for him, Giovanni Gallegos, has been absolutely out of his mind for them. An 84-11 strikeout-to-walk ratio for the Cardinals this year. So that ends up being a minor trade that's worked out for both teams. Andrew Miller had a bad outing, either last time out or two times out before that. But he's turned out to be effective for them. The bullpen has turned over the course of the season. That's gone well. And they got healthy. Marcelo Zuna was out for a while. He came back. Yadier Molina was out for a while. He came back. So it's a lot of things. It's no one thing. And guys, the point I want to make here about the Cardinals, and I would make this about the Cubs. So the Cubs are off what you would have projected for them. I had the Cardinals, not that I'm an oracle, I had them at 91-71. And right now they're on pace to go 92-70. The Cardinals, over the course of 143 games, are exactly what we thought they would be. It's that the Cubs are missing their projection by probably 8 or 9 games now. And I think you can trace that to some of the hitters still not really hitting, and then the rotation being really a big disappointment this year.
What is it something we talked about in May, and that was the performance of the White Sox Tim Anderson, who at the time I think was like leading the league in hitting. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
He's still leading the league in hitting.
I'll be.
And if I remember our conversation, you said that because of his hitting profile, because his on-base percentage is essentially his batting average, this is he's going to have to sustain at this. And I believe 310, if I remember correctly, you said maybe in a good year, you know, it gets a decent BABIP, whatever, ends up 310. Let's look at it again now. He's at 334. He is continuing to do what he has been doing. You still sort of feel the same about the larger picture with him, or has this bigger sample changed your thoughts at all?
I just can't believe you're citing what I said in May. I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Well,
flattered, Dan. Really.
Dan keeps all your newsletters.
I need decent baseball thoughts because I don't have enough of my own.
I will say that Tim Anderson, again, when you have the batting average profile, everything is really driven by your batting average and balls in play. To a certain extent, your home runs on fly balls. And a batting average guy is going to bounce around. So that's all still the same. If you look at Baseball Savant, which will essentially grade your batting average based on the quality of your contact, they've got Anderson hitting 293. And for a guy with an XBA of 293 to hit, what did you say he's hitting right now, 330?
He's at 334.
That's not unusual. And that's not to say that he's lucky. He's a good, you tell me Tim Anderson, it's 290. That's a guy who's going to be a very good player for you because he's a plus defensive shortstop and he's going to hit for power and he's going to steal bases. So a 290 XBA hitter hitting 330, that's perfectly within the range of acceptable results. And I think Anderson winning a batting title would really be a heck of a development given that, you know, I thought he was rushed 3 years ago. I thought when they promoted him, he really had no business being in the major leagues. And I think that some of the lack of development in 17 and 18 can be traced to the fact that he was rushed in 2016. So there's an arc for Anderson where he gets a little more time in the minors, and this is the player he becomes. So, yeah, if he wins a batting title, hits 330, that's great. And next year I'm probably going to project him to hit 285 with, you know, never walking and still being a plus defensive shortstop. The stat head analysis sometimes does get reduced to, well, if you don't walk, you're no good. You can absolutely be a good player without walking. You've just got to do a lot of other things well, and Anderson has proven to be that player.
You know, with the usual caveat of playoff baseball is weird and anything can happen and guys get on rut. Steve Pierce happens, for instance. It's really hard for me to look at the way this sport's lined up right now and not think about the next Dodgers-Astros World Series. Those two teams are in areas all of their own, and I don't know which one's necessarily better than the other. I wonder if you've got a pick there and maybe a third team that could challenge somebody based on true talent, not just the way a ball bounces or caroms off the big green wall.
If I'm the Dodgers, I want no part of the Nationals. They can shove, assuming Scherzer's healthy in the playoffs, Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin at you.
Yeah.
And as thin as that pitching staff is, we know in the playoffs that you can just shove 60% of your innings to four guys. And they can do that with those three starters and Sean Doolittle. So I'd be terrified of facing the Nationals if I'm any National League team. The way I've been thinking about it, Connor, is that I'm going to feel disappointed. And I apologize to Cubs fans for this. I'm going to feel disappointed if we don't get Dodgers-Astros. Because, as you say, not only are the two best teams in baseball on the field, they're the two best organizations in baseball right now. And they gave us that ridiculous World Series 2 years ago. And they're pretty much at the peak of their powers. And I think that if you're a sports fan, you want to see the best go up against the best, which we don't always get in baseball because of the nature of the baseball postseason. So with respect to the Cubs, the Nationals, the Braves, who are a fun team, as fun a team as anybody, the Twins, the Yankees, if it's anybody but Dodgers, Astros, it's just going to feel a little bit less than. It'll be a great World Series, and flags fly forever and respect the champions, but I think Dodgers, Astros is what most neutral baseball fans would really want to see.
The Astros are bending time and space to their will right now. I don't know that I'm sure we have seen something like this before, but I'm still slack-jawed at the idea that their hitters will strike out fewer than any other team's hitters, and their pitchers are going to strike out the most hitters. And what that says about where we are in baseball now and the achievement of a major league organization to accomplish something like that, to me, is just astonishing.
It really is. And, you know, you mentioned bending time and space. I worked with Kevin Goldstein, who's now the head director of scouting for the Astros, and he actually can do that. It's a neat trick.
Yeah, when he's wearing that ridiculous fedora that he affects.
But you can get away with it when you bend time. It's actually 1940 right. All the time true. For Kevin mm-hmm. Goldstein. No, it's really a credit. And it's funny to think about where they were at the start of this decade. Obviously, everybody remembers the Ben Reeder cover story, Sports Illustrated uh-huh. 5 years ago now saying they were going to win the 2017 World Series. I mean, 9 years ago, this franchise was a joke. It was literally a joke. It lost 100 games 3 straight years. Nobody came. They famously bottomed out with a 0 rating. Nobody right. was watching their games. And now they are literally setting the pace 9 years later across all of Major League Baseball. It's, I mean, the book's already been written, so I can't say there'd be a great book in this, but I'm not sure. I think with the Carlos, excuse me, I'm going to get his name wrong. Who was the guy who hacked into the Cardinals system?
Oh, God, Alex.
Oh, this is going to the guy we already
Correa,
went to
It was Correa something.
I think it was Alex. Yeah, I'll find it.
I forget his first name. I don't want to say Carlos Correa because that's the shortstop. But I think people remember. And, of course, they've done things along the way that have alienated people. Trading for Roberto Osuna alienated people. Bud Norris, back when they were bad, he went after them for, oh, they're just bad. They only care about his stats. They're
Bud Norris is an asshat.
I'm saying in the larger pit, like there's still a lot of this stuff kind of hangs on. There's still a perception that there's something they're not doing right. They're doing things wrong. They're treating people badly. I'm not debating that. I feel like a lot of the negative stories about the Astros are still in the water system. They're still in the air supply. And we think about those as opposed to just, oh, my God, we're actually watching one of the best-run baseball teams ever.
Chris Correa. It was Chris Correa.
Chris Correa, thank you.
Found that out. Got it for you. Joe, appreciate you as always. Dan will continue lining the wall of his refrigerator with your newsletters.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
That's Joe Sheehan. Guy knows baseball. And interesting. That's a real positive spin on Tim Anderson that I think a little unexpectedly so.
The one thing Joe didn't mention is speed. I think speed also helps a batting
that's
average
BABIP.
Guy like that. It's part of BABIP. And if I may, like Nori Aoki used to lead the league all the time in reached on errors because of the handedness he had, his ability to put the ball on the ground, and there is a skill set in that.
And the Jedi mind trick.
That helps. You know, if you could do the Kevin Goldstein thing where you're actually bending time and space and you get there like a navigator in Dune or something like that, that helps, and you get to first base faster. But that will also matter for Tim Anderson if the power has a year where he's dropping a little bit because he's not hitting for the average that exists.
You love Dune. You referenced Frank Herbert last week.
Dune, yeah. Well, it's one of the best science fiction books ever written, and that's not just from like a. It's like a. It's amazing the scope of Dune. It's what it's what the new X-Men comics are doing right now. House of X, Powers of X. It's expanding.
I think that was the context in which you mentioned Frank Herbert.
It's expanding a theme on thousands and thousands of years, and nobody. It takes so much. Dan, do you understand how much
the movie so bad?
It was wow.
Is that
That's another thing. It was not going to be. And then Jodorowsky, the Swiss director or something like that, dropped out of the thing because it. All I'm saying is it takes a lot of peyote to write a screenplay, an idea, a thought, a science fiction saga that runs as long as Dune has. So much peyote.
When we come back,
Frank Herbert.
I can't say we've got the hallucinogenic drugs for you, but if I did, I'd be happy to give them away, but we don't. Well, we do.
I think that'd be illegal.
We have the next best thing, Cubs tickets.
Oh, good. That'll get you right.
Which could also induce visions. Mm-hmm. We have them for you. We're going to give away a pair of Cubs and Reds tickets, Wrigley Field, Tuesday, September 17th. Be listening next if you want to win. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.